in our natural flesh, like as a person. When we love something, we talk about it.
Yeah. Out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks.
That's mm-hmm. what happens when you're in love. And yes. I feel it grieves me mm-hmm. that when it comes to our relationship with the Lord, we don't have that energy. It's almost like this thing where we have to keep our relationship a secret.
Which says something about the relationship. I really think a lot of people just don't know him.
Yeah.
And I think they haven't seen him, nor have they really experienced him.
Hey, you guys, welcome to In Totality, a place where we celebrate authenticity and openness. We're here for those who are willing to explore, those who embrace imperfections, and for those with open hearts and minds. I'm excited to embark on this journey with you, and while I can't predict every twist and turn, I'm certain that God will be by our side with every step of obedience. Welcome to In Totality with me, your host, Megan Ashley.
What's up, you guys? Welcome back to another episode of In Totality. I'm your host, Megan Ashley, and I have my friend here. I don't even know how to intro her because I know she's about to act up. So this is probably one of the most requested guests that I will probably ever have for this podcast. She is a follower of Christ, a teacher, a leader, a preacher, a author, a writer. She is outside of a follower of Christ. Most importantly, she's a wife and a mother. And I'm honored to call her friend, Jackie Hill Perry.
I'm gonna scream again.
I hate.
I'm on In Totality. That's crazy.
Again.
That's amazing. Yeah. You going to tell the people?
No, you tell them, Jackie.
Okay. So we did this before. We recorded an episode. And I think it was edifying to a certain degree. I just had a lot of rebuke energy. And the Lord convicted me about it. And I talked to Megan and said, hey, can we do a redo? And you were so accommodating. It's amazing.
Speaking of accommodations, the only reason why y'all have seen this couch is because of Jackie.
Why? The aesthetic is better. You can't lie.
You think the couch is better than chairs?
It feels more cozy, more, you know, it fills out the room more. There's not like
I want
space
you guys to know that this is
guests.
Actually my dining room that I have.
I think it looks great.
Literally converted into the In Totality podcast studio.
I appreciate you for accommodating me, Megan Ashley Brooks.
That's what friends are for.
I appreciate that.
How you feeling? Are you happy to be here on In Totality?
Again, yes. I'm so thankful for a new mercies, you know? Yeah.
Every
morning. I think it's going to be a good time.
We are debuting your new hair color.
I don't even think they can see it. They can't even see it.
Well, if you're listening, you can't see it. But if you're watching,
it's not that significant.
You think? The more I look at it, the more I can really see that it's like brown.
What's crazy is I got 15 boxes of dye.
I saw, yeah.
And we ran out.
No.
Yes. I said, wow. I needed a tub.
Yeah, you
of dye.
Your hair, you have a lot of hair.
Yeah.
You have a lot of hair. Okay, so the intention was to be red.
No.
Or copper.
So I bought
ginger.
I bought brown, ginger, honey blonde. And so the top is brown with a smidge of ginger. Mm-hmm. The middle is honey blonde and ginger. Mm-hmm. The ends were supposed to be blonde, but we stopped caring by hour two. So
it was the foil. I could not deal.
No, like I was gonna say crackhead, but that might be inappropriate. Yeah, I didn't look well.
You didn't. Mm-mm. You didn't. But your hair turned out great, and in the sun, it looks even better.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
Appreciate it.
And your makeup.
Okay.
Let's talk about
it. How are you today?
Your face.
How are you today?
Is looking good, ma'am.
How are you?
No, you got us all engaged into your skincare and your makeup routine, so you're gonna accept these.
But low key, some of the obsessiveness is your fault.
It's very interesting that you say that.
Because
what was the text I sent you the other day?
You said that you becoming obsessed with makeup
again. Because of you.
So
I stopped caring.
So it's mutual.
No, it's not. I stopped caring. Y'all, I did makeup for 10 years. I had every product you can think of. Before I moved into this house, I had big like big containers full of makeup, got rid of all of them, mm-hmm. never bought a thing again. Mm-hmm. Here you come. What'd you think about this? What'd you think about this? What'd
you
think
about this? And now, possibly think that I'm gonna start learning makeup and not talk to you? Are you crazy? If I have access to Megan Ashley Brooks,
oh my god!
No, you finna be in Sephora with me.
Listen, we have been in Sephora more times
multiple
than
times.
I think
I
that
appreciate
we
it.
I'm literally in Sephora or Ulta every week.
I'm sorry.
Yes, this is actually.
But you know they got same day delivery because I just been doing that.
Oh, like, you've been ordering?
Yeah, $6.95 same day
from Sephora.
Yeah,
you know you can just get on DoorDash, right?
No.
You can go on DoorDash.
Oh, no, I DoorDashed it to your house.
Yes, you can
I bought
do DoorDash,
you
and it will literally come same day.
See?
There you go. We Sephora, here's a plug for you. How are you? How do you feel? Redo.
I'm
do you feel gentle?
No. I don't. But you know who is?
The Lord.
The Lord is.
Okay.
And so I'm depending on him. I mean, I think to even just give insight into what was happening, which you're aware of, the Lord showed me that some of my, what looks like righteous zeal, it has elements of unrighteous anger.
Mm.
And it was influencing the way I was applying God's truth and God's word to his people. And so it was kind of like I told you, it was like when God told Moses to speak to the rock, I hit it instead of speaking to it. And it still produced water, so it was still helpful, mm-hmm. still like edifying potentially, yet at the same time, I didn't do what he said.
Mm.
And what he says is approach your opponents with gentleness and respect. And I ain't had no respect. And so I wasn't approaching them with no respect. So, you know, I think it's important to model for people what it looks like to be honest
mm-hmm.
and a truth teller, but also compassionate.
What's the difference between righteous anger and unrighteous anger? And how can we identify the difference?
I think some of this is the Holy Spirit, right? Mm-hmm. So like I text Dr. Sarita and I was, because I think she's somebody who is very much a truth teller and bold mm-hmm. and all of that. And I was like, what's the balance between, you know what I'm saying, telling the truth and being prophetic about it, yet at the same time being honorable to people? Like, mm-hmm. what is that tension? And she sent me this long thing, but one of the things she said is she was like, sometimes we could be more committed to the truth than we are to the people we're telling the truth to.
Mm.
And she was like, so some of what you might be experiencing is that you have a very big love for truth and an anemic love for people.
Ooh.
And I was like, she's right. And so even when I sat down with you, the thing on my mind was tell the truth,
mm.
be bold, be honest, be like courageous, all that. I never at any point thought about the people.
Mm.
You know what I'm saying? Yeah. And so I think that's one way to distinguish is, am I, who am I angry at for real? Why am I talking about it? Have I submitted it to the Lord? Or am I just getting something off my chest, but in a religious way
mm.
where I can be affirmed, but I still ain't dealt with the fact that like I'm hurt.
Mm.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Like people be hurt.
Yeah.
A lot of these heresy hunters are hurt. They're hurt.
Yeah.
You're mad at your dad.
Ugh.
Okay. That abandoned you when you were four. And so you found a way to express your anger and your rage.
And trying to sanctify it because
yes.
it's in the context of God.
Yes.
Yeah.
So that's where we are. Mm-hmm. I don't want to be that way.
Well, I appreciate your... one thing about Jackie that I really appreciate is that... Jackie, as if I'm not talking to you. One thing about you that I really, really appreciate is your integrity.
Mm-hmm.
I think that's one of the things... And you know... Integrity is sensitive for me right now
mm-hmm.
because I don't feel like people have integrity.
They don't.
And it really irritates me. And so I'm trying
You're restraining them.
I'm trying to restrain myself.
Yes.
But I appreciate your integrity just as a communicator of the gospel,
mm-hmm.
as a wife, as a mother, as a friend. Like the amount of integrity that you have, I just really appreciate it. And even in moments where you can like really just like be a friend and let me just
mm-hmm.
do something foolish. Mm-hmm. Like there was this one time I texted you and I was like, should I post this? And oh. you were like, take this out, take this out. You know what I mean? And yeah. I feel like because of the circumstance, I had every right to post it. And it was still in the context of God, mm-hmm. but you knew where my heart was in it. And
I was like, it sounded like you coming for somebody.
And was. And was.
With scripture.
With scripture. Yes. And I just think that is super dope to, you know, everybody just don't get that.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Yeah. In the sense of integrity as a friend.
Yeah.
And even though you're my friend, you still belong to him first. Mm-hmm. And so you're responsible to be.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
Because to me, you know, our relationship or relationships I have with anybody, I would want to be helpful. You know what I'm saying? Help people be better versions of themselves. Yeah. And I think me and you relate on many levels because we're public leaders. Mm-hmm. And so in my mind, it's like, no, I want to help you be the best public leader that you can be.
Yeah.
But I'm also giving you space to vent. Just let's not do it on Instagram. That's all.
And literally, I didn't post it at all. I didn't even.
Praise God.
Even with your corrections, I was like, let me just now. Because clearly.
Because that was the compromise. I'm like, if we just edit this, then maybe.
Yeah, I think that's what you said. You were like, maybe if you take this out.
It was salvageable, but, you know, heart.
My heart wasn't in the right place.
Your conscience.
And I appreciate that because I think a lot of times, especially like in friendships and relationships, we lay aside our responsibility to Christ and we look at the relationship and just like, I just want to be a good friend.
That's
I just want to let you vent. I just want to let you feel what you feel. I just want to let you pop your stuff off or whatever.
Right.
But it's like, this is my point to your integrity mm-hmm. is that before you're my friend, you're responsible to Christ mm-hmm. and his truth.
Yeah.
Do you know what I'm saying? And in doing that, you're being a good friend.
Yeah. And I feel like friendship is like protecting your people, right? Mm-hmm. So to me, how you move on social media, if I can get ahead of that, because I'm also thinking of how other people will come for you mm-hmm. in light of how you came for them, mm-hmm. right? So it's like, I don't even want you to go through that.
Yeah.
So let's just not. Let's dead it now.
Don't post that.
Yeah, so
sometimes being a good friend, y'all, is telling your friends, don't post that.
Don't do that.
Get off the internet.
For sure.
Just
go away.
Go away.
Yeah.
Just get down. Okay. I have a few, some icebreaker questions for you.
Because we didn't do this at the last one. Did we do icebreakers? Nah. I feel like we went straight to.
I don't remember. I tried to
break it next. That's what we went. We went straight for the guts of the false teachers. Go ahead. Come on. You want to ask me my favorite ice cream?
They about to be mad. Like, we want that one.
No.
Give us the angry.
Because that's why people's at the Coliseum. You understand? It's that same energy.
Literally. Like
the gladiators was popping because people like to see violence. That's a very deep philosophical idea if you really think about it.
Yeah, it is.
But go ahead.
Okay. I'm not going to ask you some goofy stuff. I want to ask you some icebreaker questions that I feel like will be edifying to the people. Oh. But okay, a few things. What is one thing that you feel like you are learning the most right now with God?
That's literally not an icebreaker.
Sorry.
Have you ever been to like a group team meeting?
Well, it's my type of icebreaker. You know who I am.
That's not an icebreaker. That's why we all in totality. Say it again. It was so deep. Go ahead. What is God teaching me? Because icebreakers are like, what's your favorite Bible verse? You know, what's your middle name? What's your favorite color? This Negro said, what is God teaching you in this season of your life? Come on now. Go ahead. Say it again. That's what you said?
Okay, Jackie, what's your favorite ice cream? Pecan?
Butter pecan.
Butter pecan is your favorite ice cream. Okay.
Jackie, what's my favorite color?
What is your favorite color? Black.
Black.
What is... okay, do you believe as a parent... This is still kind of deep, but
it is.
Do you believe as a parent
yes.
that you go through seasons where you have a favorite child?
No.
You don't?
No. Because
not a favorite, but I do have seasons where I feel like one is closer to me than the others.
I do have seasons where one or two of them are easier.
You got a lot of kids. So
I
maybe
do.
You have
it's
four.
A lot.
That's a lot.
So I might have an easier one, and I do have to guard myself from being more attentive to them just because of the ease. Mm-hmm. So I wouldn't say that it's an affectionate kind of favoritism, but I think it could be a practical favoritism.
Mm.
You know, where I remember that. You ever watched This Is Us?
I did. I only got through one. I cried. I couldn't take it.
I could see that. It's not enough setting spray in the world to keep you. Megan be in church wear makeup dripping off, bro. It's like, my God. Anyway, there was this episode.
No, what? Because, y'all, I was at church boo-hooing, tissues flying.
Yeah.
Jackie texted me after, oh no, she came over after church one day. And she was like, bro, I was 2 seconds away from being like, because the ushers be walking around with the tissue box. She was like, I was so tempted to be like, just leave it
here. Give her the box, bro. Just give her the whole box, because you grabbing too. You being modest. No, you're weeping. You're lamenting. Give her the box. Anyway. There was an episode where all the kids got the mother to decide. And one of them was basically feeling a way that he didn't get the attention that the other brother got. And she like yelled and she was like, he was just easier. And I was like, I feel that. Like some kids are just easier. But at the same time, you just got to guard your heart because you end up abandoning one child in favor of another, which is traumatic.
Do you find it hard? Because I have 3, you have 4. And I can only even though it's one more is a lot more.
Yeah.
It's not just one more. It's a whole lot more.
Yeah.
And do you feel that it's, I know it's challenging, but this is why I don't understand how people parent without the Lord.
Uh-huh.
Because they're so different.
Yes.
And they need different things.
Yes.
And you are just one person. Yes. I mean, obviously you have your husband help and to be who he's called to be to your kids too. But sometimes I find it as a parent that I'm just trying to figure myself out.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
I'm trying to hear the Lord for me, you know what I'm saying?
Right.
And now I have these kids who I need to also hear the Lord for.
Right.
And they're all different.
These days, a lot of people are learning about all the benefits of fasting, like weight loss, mental and physical performance and gut health, but worry about the whole not eating part. Well, that's exactly why Prolon was created. Introducing Prolon, a revolutionary plant-based nutrition program that nourishes the body while making cells believe they're fasting. Researched and developed for decades at the University of Southern California Longevity Institute and backed by leading U.S. medical centers, Prolon helps promote healthy blood sugar, support cardiovascular health, and reduce abdominal fat. But Prolon isn't a diet. Prolon is science. Science based on Nobel Prize winning discoveries in medicine. And this all starts with Prolon's 5-day program, snacks, soups, and beverages, all designed to keep your body in a fasting state. It's unlike anything you've ever experienced. You guys, listen, if I was going to start a nutrition program, Prolon is exactly what I'd use. It's convenient, backed by Nobel-winning science, and it works. It's no wonder why thousands of doctors now recommend Prolon to support healthy blood sugar and cardiovascular health. Right now, Prolon is offering in totality with Megan Ashley listeners 10% off their 5-day nutrition program. Go to prolonlife.com/totality. That's prolonlife.com/totality. For this special offer. That's prolonlife.com/totality. All right, guys, now back to the show. Okay, you guys, before we continue with this episode, have you ever been on a hunt for a new doctor and you literally asked everyone for their recommendation? Listen, when I moved to Georgia with the kids, I needed to find a new doctor for them. I would ask everyone, so I totally know what this feels like. You ask everybody who you know for a doctor that listens to you, that knows your needs, that makes you feel comfortable. And after weeks of searching and asking everyone around town, you finally found the one. It's close to the kids' school. It's close to your house. It's amazing. All the boxes are checked. So then you call the office, you make an appointment, and they actually have an available appointment. Everything is working out just right. But then the receptionist tells you that the perfect doctor that you have searched all over for does not take your insurance. I'm telling you right now, wipe the tears, put away the ice cream, and head over to ZocDoc to find and book a doctor who is right for you and takes your insurance. ZocDoc is a free app where you can find amazing doctors and book appointments online. We're talking about booking appointments with thousands of top-rated patient-reviewed doctors and specialists. You can filter specifically for ones who take your insurance, are located near you, and treat almost every and any condition you're searching for. These doctors all have verified reviews from actual real patients, not robots. The typical wait time to see a doctor booked on ZocDoc is between just 24 to 72 hours. That's it. You can even score same-day appointments. You can find the doctor you want and book them immediately with just a few app taps. No more waiting awkwardly on hold with a receptionist. Go to ZocDoc.com/totality and download the ZocDoc app for free. Then find and book a top-rated doctor today. That's ZocDoc.com/totality. ZocDoc.com/totality. All right, guys, back to the show.
Yeah.
Do you feel like that's a hard thing, or how do you navigate through that? Because we know you as this amazing teacher, and you're also a mother.
I am.
You know, like, yeah. You are a whole mom to four kids.
I think for me, so the way I've looked at the strategy of mothering these different beings is one, each of them is made in the image of God.
Mm-hmm.
And so there is a particular personality that the Lord has designed them to have, mm-hmm. right? And so it's like, how do I steward how God has made you mm-hmm. and what he wants you to be?
Mm-hmm.
Then there's different potential gifts associated with the personality type.
Yeah.
Right? So it's like Eden, for example, my oldest. Eden is very intellectual,
mm-hmm.
very communicative. So she's a talker, really intelligent, but also really controlling. All of those are traits of a potential preacher
mm-hmm.
and leader.
Mm-hmm.
So in my mind, it's your different personality requires me to show up and train you how to be a good, humble leader and a very clear, thoughtful communicator. Mm-hmm. But then you have, Autumn is, she's not necessarily a communicator. She's more creative. Mm-hmm. She can be spacey, which I think if you're a judgmental or non-thoughtful parent, it's like, just be quicker. But mm-hmm. it's like, no, she's just taking longer to process. And when she feels comfortable to say how she feels, mm-hmm. she's going to say it.
Mm-hmm.
But so I think Autumn will be the person who sees you in pain, hurts, like see you hurting and all that type of stuff. And she shows up for you just with her body.
Mm.
She might not say anything, mm-hmm. but she's going to be there for you. So I don't mm-hmm. know. I look at their differences as a challenge, but also a joyful one.
Yeah.
Because I'm releasing these four different individuals back into the world yeah. eventually.
Yeah. Do you see, because I feel like I
said a lot unnecessarily. No. I really could have summarized that no. in like three sentences.
I hate that you feel like you have to be just like not ever long-winded.
It's trauma.
I hate that. What does that mean?
One of my parents. I won't say who.
even though you did.
I didn't say it. I was about to say it. When I would talk, there was an urgency to how long they would listen to me.
Mm.
And so I'm always struggling with feeling like I need to get it out quickly or the person will stop caring.
Really?
Yeah. So it makes me a very concise communicator.
For sure.
But I think in relationships, Preston often has to say, like, no, I care about all of your sentences. Like, and I'm like, I feel like by the fifth one, it's like, I don't care like that. But he does care. So that's it.
I think he cares, and I think we all do.
I don't think everybody does.
Well, maybe not everybody.
Okay.
But I care about, because a lot of times in conversations with Jackie, she'd be like, that's it. And I'm like, No, that's not it. Keep going. There's more in there. Tell me more. I want to know. But
fear of abandonment and rejection.
Jackie's in therapy, y'all, and we're here for it because I can hear.
Fifth time. I've had a therapist every couple years. Because listen,
I think it's important though.
Listen, I was just, Negroes got new traumas, bro. You know, I got post-pandemic trauma that I need to, I get it. You know, when I fell off a bike, let's work through that. But let's work through what happened last year.
Literally.
Yesterday. Like, because I think, I heard somebody say that, like, therapists and stuff, like, unhealthy clinicians are some of the most dangerous people you could work with. Mm. So having an unhealed therapist is actually damaging for the patient.
Jeez.
I think the same applies to leaders and mm-hmm. ministry people. Mm-hmm. If you are not working on your stuff, it is going to spill out into how you care for people.
Yep.
So for me, if I have all of these relational wounds and these relational traumas and these new experiences that I've had, I need to work with that so that when I'm ministering to people, it's coming from like a place of wholeness and not brokenness.
Do you feel like you have to be, because I feel like we're always in this cycle of healing.
Yes.
Like we're always healing from something maybe. Mm-hmm. But do you feel like you, because I think there's a misconception that you need to be completely healed.
Right.
And I just think that we're always kind of in this process of healing.
Right.
So how do you find the tension and the balance between healing from something? You know what I'm saying? Because mm-hmm. we talk about being whole. What is the balance in that? Because you don't want to be unhealed, given out.
It might be how you frame healing. So to me, healthy healing is discovering the parts of yourself that are broken mm-hmm. by sin and learning that so you can surrender it to the Lord so he can not only heal you, but make you holy in light mm-hmm. of it, right? So to me, healing is a function of sanctification, mm-hmm. right? So we all know sanctification is a process. Therefore, healing is a process.
Yeah.
And so I also think the Bible says, like, work out your salvation with fear and trembling. And that's a part of the work is, because of the wounds I have, I've developed particular coping mechanisms, and these coping mechanisms are subtle forms of idolatry. I've discovered ways to protect myself, right? And God is over here like, no, I want you to trust me to be your protector. Mm. So to me, I don't look at healing as healing for healing's sake. I look at healing as me opening myself up to actually trust God more. So it's very simple. But I think that's what we should.
Yeah, it's a simple concept, but it's extremely hard.
Yeah. It's very painful. It's painful.
I mean,
it takes work.
And it takes a level of, and I'm just gonna be honest with you, because ever since our conversation the other night.
What were we talking about?
When we went out to eat and we were talking about just suffering, I cannot shake it. Like mm-hmm. It's been on my mind. I feel like it's the only thing that I can talk about. It's the only thing that I can express, because I feel like this is the literal opponent to the prosperity gospel message that's being preached, is that this idea of enduring suffering.
Yes.
And what's produced when we're suffering. Mm-hmm. Do you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. And why that's not preached and not taught more of.
Yeah.
And it's, I was talking to Preston Morrison about the Pilgrim's Progress and that part where they get stuck in the mud. Mm-hmm. I feel like that's what American Christianity is setting us up for right now.
Yes.
Is, oh, come with us. Like, come, the streets are going to be paved with gold. It's going to be amazing. Yeah. It's going to be beautiful. You're going to get a crown and all these things. And then like people were like, okay, yeah, I'll start this faith walk, and then they get in the mud, and it's not what they expected. And then this is what turns people away from the faith because they were setting them up for
failure. Yeah, literally.
Like, and I think that's where we are.
Yeah, it's like one is, I think, this idea of an easy life is very American, because I think when you go outside of America and you go into certain nations, you realize that that's just not even possible in some places for life to be easy. Mm-hmm. So to even claim or make the claim that life with Jesus should look like this, if it cannot apply to a single mother in Rwanda, then it should not be preached. Like, because it's actually not a general transcendent truth. Mm. It's a very culturally specific truth. Mm. But I think until we learn or have some type of theological awareness of the beauty and worthwhile nature of suffering, we're just gonna have a hard time. And by hard, I don't even mean like we gonna be out here, you know, worshiping Satan. I just mean we're not gonna see God. We're not gonna see
that part.
Because if you got people like Paul over here having the audacity to say, like, I wanna know Christ and the fellowship of his sufferings. So you're telling me I know him in the book, I know him through his people, mm-hmm. and I know him by finding him when life is difficult, yeah. right? So you shortcut your ability to have a more comprehensive knowledge of Jesus when you don't allow him to show you himself when life is hard and difficult. And so I feel like it's just interesting to me that people fall away for the just smallest things.
Literally.
Light stuff. Oh, God don't want me to stop sleeping with my boyfriend. Forget him. You know what I'm saying? Like, light stuff. Yeah. But like I told you the other day, you got Christians who were enslaved,
yep.
didn't even have the whole Bible,
yep.
but they were more enduring than we're able to be with all the... we have more resources. We got commentaries. We got Bibles. What's these called?
Study Tony Bibles. Evans.
We got cross references. We got a lot at our disposal, and that's part of the problem.
Mm.
We're used to too much, so we're spoiled.
Yeah. Yeah. I feel like when we were talking about the suffering and what it's like to endure the suffering, not only do we know Christ more, but I feel like I would not have, like, I don't know if my relationship would be real with him. Do you know what I mean? Like, I feel like I have a real relationship mm-hmm. with him, because at my darkest hour, mm-hmm. I compare it to like a friendship, right? Yeah. The friends that you are like,
yes.
I know you are my friend,
yeah.
because when I was down bad,
yeah.
you were right there with me.
Yeah. I think
you didn't run.
I feel like that'd be God's whole point, is he's trying to get our experience of him into the deepest recesses of our heart.
Mm.
Because when I think about my life with the Lord in the earlier days of my walk, I was suffering. I mean, it was hard to stop smoking weed. That was a okay. form of suffering, okay? I need peace. I'm not used to finding you. You know what I'm saying? So that was difficult.
Mm.
I think in recent years, the suffering has intensified, but it's also because the small sufferings along the way has increased mm-hmm. my capacity to endure.
Mm-hmm.
And through each trial, I get to see that he's faithful. It's deep, because like in, I think it's Psalm, because I read this morning, Psalm 37, David or whoever wrote it, I don't know, one of them, they said, I was
that
young.
It's ridiculous.
Because it could have been ASAP, like, I don't
for
know.
For sure.
I was young, now I'm old,
mm-hmm.
and I have never seen the righteous forsaken.
Yeah.
And I'm starting to get that now.
Mm-hmm.
Because it's like when you keep seeing him come through.
My God.
Then you start to really believe that he's going to come through.
Mm-hmm.
And so it gives you a hope that even when it gets hard again, he's going to come through. Like he, and by come through, let's be clear, it doesn't mean that deliverance will come in the form that you expected it to.
That part.
Right? So when I say come through, I don't necessarily even mean like that he'll heal your mother from cancer.
Mm-hmm.
He may not, right? Mm-hmm. But if she sees Jesus on the other side, he still came through.
Okay.
Right? Because like now she over here, she got something like better than what you got. So
yeah. And I talked about that earlier. But Romans 8, where it talks about the present suffering doesn't compare
mm-hmm.
to the glory that will be revealed. Mm-hmm. Like, and when I was reading the commentary in the Tony Evans Bible, it's like he said that once we get on the other side,
yeah.
we're going to be like, what suffering?
For sure. We better.
Okay.
Because life is life.
It's life.
Yeah.
And I think that, and I've talked to you about this before. I've received a lot of criticism for don't pause like that. You about to fight?
No, I mean, I felt the way. Go ahead, say it again.
I've received a lot of criticism for my boldness and it's the O, and for just I guess doing the standard,
being Christian,
I guess.
Yeah.
But it feels for a lot of people that it's too much. Mm-hmm. It's too, everything ain't that deep. It's not that serious. Where is the joy? Where are you enjoying? Like, mm-hmm. you know, and, but I feel like I'm not trying to lean into it in like a prideful way mm-hmm. or arrogant way. And I'm always praying because I naturally mm-hmm. have that energy to be sure. like, okay, bet.
Yeah, you do.
Like, I'm going to be even more because yeah. it irritates you. So I'm going to be even more. Yes. And so I have to always pray over my heart and pray that the Lord remove pride and arrogance in me because I don't want to approach it that way. Mm-hmm. But it definitely makes me want to lean into the boldness of living for him fully
yeah.
because I want to be an example that you don't have to compromise,
yeah.
that there is actually a standard.
Let's face it, people have different sleep needs. While you love your partner, sleeping next to them might not always be the most comfortable. Sleep Number Smart Bed is designed for your ever-evolving sleep needs, so you can choose what's right for each of you whenever you like. Maybe you prefer a firmer mattress and your partner needs something softer. Because of the individualized comfort that you get from Sleep Number smart beds, you and your partner will sleep better together. All Sleep Number smart beds feature cooling, pressure-relieving comfort layers for soothing sleep throughout the night. And their temperature balancing bedding is designed to move heat and moisture away when you're hot. When you're cool, they hold their energy to help warm you. The smart beds even automatically respond and adjust to your movements, so you sleep comfortably all night long. J.D. Power ranks Sleep Number number one in customer satisfaction with mattresses purchased in-store. And now, save 40% on the Sleep Number limited edition smart bed for a limited time. For J.D. Power 2023 award information, visit jdpower.com/awards. Only at a Sleep Number store or sleepnumber.com.
The comfort of your favorite seat is now your comfy car selling command center, thanks to Carvana.
It doesn't get any better than this.
Your favorite seat's the best spot in the house. Make it even better by entering your license plate or VIN and getting a real offer in minutes.
There really is no place like home.
And speaking of home, Carvana will pick up your car from yours after you finalize your offer. Visit Carvana.com or download the app and sell your car from your comfy place.
Yeah.
That the Lord is requiring.
Yeah. So you want me to say what I said on Instagram? That's what you were setting this up for?
Yes, because okay. I thought that was really necessary.
That was a really good, that was a good
okay.
pass.
Was it a good pass?
Okay.
I just appreciated that reel. Let me just say that.
And let's be clear.
Uh-oh.
I think what I said is true, is that the standard of this nation as it regards to the Christian faith and discipleship is very low.
Mm-hmm.
And so hypocrisy is normative. Being lukewarm is the standard. It's natural. You know, mm-hmm. I mean, how many of us know a lot of real Christians? Think about it. You know yeah. what I'm saying? Like, narrow is the way to life.
Narrow.
Few will find it. Broad, like, so that broad includes people who will say, Lord, but didn't I prophesy?
Mm-hmm.
I casted out demons. Like, yeah, you walked in gifts, but your character, you didn't actually know him.
My God.
So you had a form of godliness, mm-hmm. but you denied its power. And I think because we have so many public personalities and private examples of people who walk in a form of godliness, we're literally comparing what the Christian faith should look like. We're drawing it from people who aren't actually Christians. You get what I'm saying? Let me say that again. So we're around all of these people who aren't actually Christian. Mm-hmm. And if they are the baseline for what we think Christianity should be, then even our articulation of what Christianity should be is rooted in a lie. So my for God. Them to say you're doing the most means they don't actually know what Christianity is. Does this make sense? I hope so. And so it's like, if we just open the Bible, then I feel like it's really hard to read this and come to the conclusion that we shouldn't be doing the most. Now, I do think we should be clear that we're not advocating for self-righteousness and legalism.
Okay.
So I think some people are trying to bend themselves away from the legalism and self-righteousness they might have seen growing up. Mm-hmm. And so any type of expressions of faith that kind of mirrors that is mm-hmm. scary. So yeah. I think that's fair.
Yeah.
But we're not talking about legalism. We're talking about love.
Yeah.
When you love God, yeah. you talk about him, you advocate for him, you care about him, you obey him. That's what Christian, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah. And I feel like just in our natural flesh, like in as a person, mm-hmm. when we love something,
yeah,
we talk about it.
Yeah. Out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks.
Like any time that when I was married, right? My ex, his favorite football team was Notre Dame, or yeah. his, you know, or yeah. his favorite basketball team was the Tar Heels. Mm-hmm. I could care less before I met him. Mm-hmm. Could care less about those teams. Mm-hmm. But because I was in love with him, mm-hmm. those became my teams. Yeah. And I liked what he liked. And yeah. I wanted to do what he wanted to do. And everything that I did, I was thinking about him mm-hmm. and how it would affect, like, you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. That's what happens when you're in love. And yes. I feel it grieves me mm-hmm. that when it comes to our relationship with the Lord, mm-hmm. we don't match that. We don't have that energy. It's almost like this thing where we have to keep our relationship a secret.
Yeah. Which says something about the relationship. Because I really think a lot of people just don't know him.
Yeah.
And I think they haven't seen him, nor have they really experienced him. And by experience, I don't mean having emotional experiences at church. Mm-hmm. By experience, I don't mean coming in contact with somebody who prophesied that you was born in so-and-so hospital in 1988. That's not experiencing God. Mm-hmm. God, a person, a being, mm-hmm. right? Like, to experience him, I think, does something to your sense of reality. It changes yep. where it's like, oh, you're the preeminent one. You're good. You're worthy. You're valuable. Where it isn't even just obedience for obedience sake. It's obedience out of appreciation.
Yeah.
And like, thank you.
Yeah.
For giving me life, health, and everything. Like, you gave me, he died. Megan Brooks. He died.
On the cross. Yeah.
Listen.
When she starts pointing and sitting up, I just
God mm-hmm. died.
Yeah.
For your raggedy self. Jesus died for my raggedy self.
Raggedy.
And then gave me the Holy Ghost. And then it's befuddling to me.
And this is the thing.
This is why we need Easter preached every Sunday.
Every Sunday.
Oh, gosh.
Because I think the thing that I also, like you said, it's not coming from this boldness that I have. It really isn't coming from a self-righteous place.
Yes.
It really isn't. I know
yeah.
what he saved me from.
Yeah.
I don't think people understand.
No.
Like, you know what I'm saying? Yes. Like, I don't think people understand.
Clap.
I yeah. was obsessed with death.
Yeah.
Like, you know what I'm saying? Talk thinking about dying all the time, thinking about taking my life, thinking about not being obsessed, plagued with these thoughts. Mm-hmm. The severity of what he saved me from, it deserves the severity of my life. Period.
Yeah.
And it's not even about trying to be anything. It's what you said, appreciating. Mm-hmm. This love mm-hmm. and what he did on the cross. He did that. Because mm-hmm. Literally, he could have left me to
out my here with your tuning forks, just making noise.
Just vibrating my brain.
Yes. Just sounding just like shaking a spa. Because you ever walk in the spa, it'd be sounding like, oh, y'all want my chakras to open immediately. Turn upon those chakra opening sounds down and rub my back. Why do we have to have that music? Why we can't have lo-fi? Like holy lo-fi. You know what I'm saying?
It's the sage.
It's the little
the
bowl.
Rocks. I did it all.
Yes.
And he could have turned me over.
He could have.
But on this porch, to your point, it wasn't in a service. Mm-hmm. And I'm not saying that you can't encounter God in service. I hope you do encounter the Lord because he should be there.
Thank you for saying that.
You know what I'm saying? Like, I hope you are encountering the Lord at church. But I'm saying this encounter, and a lot of times when I talk to people who really have encountered the Lord.
I'm sorry. I just need water. Something on my lips.
Oh, Lord.
I just ruined your clip. Go ahead.
Didn't ruin my clip.
This could have been a clip.
The common, for me, a lot of the common denominators that I hear in people who really had an encounter with the Lord was in random places. Mm-hmm. They were at home. They were at the grocery store. They were in this. So when I was on this porch thinking that my life was about to be just a mess, I encountered the love of God. And it wasn't like he was like, everything's going to be all right and da 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 da. He was like, no, it's going to require something.
Yeah.
But I'll be with you.
Yeah. Yeah. And I think what I've seen is, you know how like, how do I explain this? Like, I feel like God increases our experience of him and therefore our affection. Because I think sometimes you just have to pursue him even when you don't feel like it. So that like, part. I feel like at the early stages of my walk, I knew God was real. I knew he changed me and saved me, but there were still so many mixed emotions about that because I still love so many other things, so many things other than him, but I still kept trying to just, by his grace and discipleship stuff, I just kept pushing towards him, just fighting to have him. And the more I pushed against my own passions and my own desires, that capacity grew. So I say that because people can be listening to you and say, but I don't feel that. And it's like at some point you do it by faith, not feeling. And I think God in his kindness then will sometimes, because you trusted him, he then fills you with the affection that you didn't have. You
know, that's
like
good.
I've seen him do that.
Yeah. And I think that's why I try to be very mindful to encourage people to pray specifically to have a heart that wants to love him. She has Bible. All right.
Because I was like, that sounds like an opinion. And it's not.
It's not. I think like when people say, well, I don't feel this and I don't feel this. And I'm like, okay, even when you don't, that's an invitation for you to pray specifically for what you don't feel.
Yes.
Because like you said, faith doesn't come by feelings. Yes.
Because that's a sign of maturity.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to love him even when I don't feel like I love him. They do that on TikTok. I'm going to pursue him even when I don't feel like pursuing
him.
I'm going to worship him even when I feel like I don't feel like work. Because especially even if you've been married, there are ebbs and flows in the affections in your relationship, right? And so just because I might not feel like being around Preston at times, I'm still going to be around him. Why? Because I'm in covenant. I've made the decision that for better or worse, I'm going to choose to love you. And I think we have to see that our life with God cannot be governed primarily by our affections, but our faith. Ephesians, Paul prays, I think it's 3. These big words are throwing me. Here's one of the prayers. Paul prays this, Ephesians 1, verse 18. He says, I pray that the eyes of your heart may be enlightened so that you may know what is the hope of his calling, what is the wealth of his glorious inheritance in the saint, what is the immeasurable greatness of his power towards those who believe. So it's like he's praying for an awareness of who God is. Ain't none of this emotional. Ain't none of this wrapped in affection. You know what I'm saying? And so sometimes it's like, pray the prayers that Paul prayed in Ephesians for yourself. I pray that the eyes of my heart will be enlightened so that I might know what is the hope of his calling, what is the wealth of his glorious inheritance in saints. And then in Ephesians 3, I'm turning like I still know where it's at, but I don't. I'm just trusting that the Lord is going, he's just going to take me there. Yes, he did. Look at him. I pray that he may grant you, according to the riches of his glory, to be strengthened with power in your inner being. Now we're dealing with internal, right? In your inner being, through his spirit, that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith. I pray that you, being rooted and firmly established in love, may be able to comprehend, okay, that's mental, with all the saints, with the length and width and height and depth of God's love, and to know Christ's love that surpasses knowledge. Okay, so I'm praying that you would know a love that isn't intellectual. So where is it? It's an experience. Mm-hmm. And so I think we just said all that to say, pray that you would know him and experience him. But even when there is not a present affection for him, don't stop seeking.
Yes.
We're not seeking him just for the experience. We're seeking him so we can know him.
Yeah. And I think that was one
did
thing
that, make
that
sense?
Yes, it does. And that was one thing that when we first met, mm-hmm. we didn't even tell these people how we met.
They have no idea why I'm here.
I know.
How did I get on Megan Ashley? This is the remix. How did I get on Megan Ashley's couch? Why am I here?
Okay, so before we get into that, I want the thing that when we first met,
yes,
you told me because I was going through. Right.
Yeah.
and one thing that you said that really encouraged me, you were like, because I'm like, man, like I'm struggling. I felt like the Lord was kind of just beating me up. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, I surrender, bro. Like,
dang,
right. Like, why you keep like swinging on me? And you were like, the encouragement that you gave me was that I kept engaging. Mm. You were like, but you keep engaging. Mm-hmm. You keep seeking him. You keep reading his word, even when you don't feel like mm-hmm. it, even when you're not, when the circumstances aren't changing, like you're still engaging with the Lord. And that's one thing that I feel like I just want to encourage other people to do mm-hmm. is that even though you may not feel it.
Come on.
Even though the outer things may not feel like they're changing. You know, you still are struggling in this area. You're still maybe even having affections toward things that you know the Lord doesn't want you to have affections for, even though those are still the facts, right? We still have to be reminded of the truth of God's word, right? And still engaging with him, even though we don't feel. And I think that that is so contrary to what we're being taught mm-hmm. in today's culture and society mm-hmm. is everything is governed by our feelings.
And you know what it is too? We have been inculcated. I just felt like saying that word.
What is that?
We have been discipled, lived in, cultivated.
Inculcated?
Yeah.
All right.
I might not even use it correctly, but it felt right in my spirit. We are impatient.
Mm-hmm.
We are lazy.
Mm-hmm.
And we give up too easy on everything.
Yep.
We give up on friendships. We give on, we don't even want to have difficult conversations.
Ever.
Like we don't, it's like, I'm gonna cut her off. Oh, that's, you call it a boundary. I call it impatience. You don't feel like doing the work that is required to keep a relationship going, right? And so we can't think that that type of thing doesn't show up even in our life with God.
Yep.
Is that we just keep giving up. I read the Bible. I ain't getting nothing out of it. I prayed and he didn't answer. Why do you think the psalmists are always saying wait?
Yeah.
Because we have to grow in our ability to be patient. Here's the encouragement.
Which is a fruit of the spirit.
Galatians 5. How did you know I was there? How did you know?
I don't know.
It was right there. But the fruit of the spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, justice. And so that's to say that in your flesh, you can't endure.
Mm-hmm.
You won't endure.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's even more motivation to keep leaning into God's word and to be filled with his spirit.
Mm.
You know, because I think some of us, some of your listeners, some of your watchers have probably grown up in church and been around church, but are not in relationship with Christ.
Yeah.
And so you're trying to do spiritual things by the flesh, and that's why it's not working.
My God.
So some of it is maybe the starting point isn't just practicing the spiritual disciplines and expecting something to happen. Maybe the starting point is examining if I'm even in the faith and repenting, turning to the Lord so I can be filled with the Holy Spirit for real and then experience power. Because some of it might, I kind of feel this, some of it might be you just don't have power.
My God.
So you are getting tired easier. You are weary because you're doing works. It's like the Old Testament. You're living according to the law because you haven't been set free yet.
My God.
So, you know, we need the Holy Spirit.
Okay, so I want to get, because there's something that you said that I want to talk about, but I want to go back. Because
I am being so gentle. I really hope you've noticed it.
I'm very proud of you.
You haven't affirmed me in like 30 minutes.
You are being so gentle.
Thank you. I was just waiting.
But you know, I like rowdy energy. You know me. I like the Jackie that's...
I don't know. It's coming.
Heavy.
When we get to 2 Timothy 4. Itching ears. This is going to come out.
So before we get into more things, mm-hmm. how did Jackie and Megan get here?
Hey, you guys, before you go, I just wanted to say how grateful I am for your love and support. If you've enjoyed this episode, please take a moment and share it with a friend or a family member. If you could do me one huge favor, head over to Apple Podcasts and leave a 5-star rating and a heartfelt review. It helps others just like you discover the podcast. You guys, let's continue to spread the inspiration. For more about me and the podcast, visit www.themeganashley.com. Until next time, stay encouraged that you are so valued and so loved.